Marge over Roosevelt Avenue. This is TheBeatPod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 7th of June, 2012. On this date, in 1099, during the First Crusade, the Siege of Jerusalem begins. In 1494, Spain and Portugal sign the Treaty of Tordesillas, which divides the New World between the two countries. In 1654, Louis XIV is crowned King of France. In 1893, in decision and stance that would have great consequence for the world, Mahatma Gandhi, when he was a young lawyer working in South Africa, refuses to comply with racial segregation rules on a train and is chucked out of it at Pietermaritzburg. He stays in South Africa, organizes Indians there, particularly in the Natal, and the rest is history. Orhan Pamuk is 60 years old today. Today it's Cameron Christensen, Matthias Hooter, and me, Mark Mullen. Everything we say can and will be held against us in a court of law and has no relation to any of our employers, past, present, or future. I've had a great week tooling around with Catherine Schultz, author of Being Wrong, which is a fantastic book I encourage you all to read and has already influenced me personally and professionally. It's in English, or the Radharami version is available in Georgian as well. We were in Batumi, Çokhataori, Khoni, and Kutaisi. So, the big gigantic story, of course, is U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was visiting Georgia as part of her trip throughout the South Caucasus. She was in Batumi, where she opened the U.S.-Georgia Strategic Partnership Commission session. In her speech, she mainly talked about four things: democracy, trade relations, defense assistance, and people-to-people contacts. She highlighted the importance of elections, and I quote, "We urge Georgia's leaders to ensure that it will be a competitive campaign and the elections are free and fair," she said. And they said, okay, just kidding. Besides, she also mentioned strengthening labor rights, judicial independence, as well as media independence and access. She said that the U.S. is ready to recognize neutral documents which the Georgian government issues for Abkhaz and Ossetians, so now they'll be able to travel and study in the U.S. with those documents that they're unlikely to ever use in favor of their Russian passports. While commissioning two Coast Guard patrol boats in the Batumi port, Clinton said, quote, "We will not waver in our support for Georgia and your territorial integrity," end quote. She also mentioned the term occupation, getting lots of brownie points from the Georgians there. Misha was very happy about that. During her visit, Clinton also promised comprehensive assistance to support Georgia's defense reforms and modernization, providing training and equipment necessary for Georgia's troops. Train and equip. Wow, that's familiar. Where have I heard that? Necessary for Georgia's troops participating in Afghan operations. The Russian Foreign Ministry was pretty upset about all of this because in part of a speech, they released a statement saying that some of her remarks included occupation of Georgia's territories by Russia and was fueling, and I quote, "revanchist aspirations of Tbilisi that the U.S. failed to learn lessons from the August 2008 events in the Caucasus. There's a sense of deja vu today. High-ranking U.S. officials are again making loud statements about supporting Saakashvili, repeating verbatim false theses of his propaganda about the Russian occupation of Georgia." Clinton also met with opposition. Bidzina was not there.
And she got a Georgian passport.
Is that right?
Everybody does these days.
Everybody does, but I think the amazingly Democratic Republic of Georgia, I think that was a fake. But she still, I think, got some kind of passport.
I mean, did she sign anything, and can we now refer to Hillary Clinton as the dual citizen of Georgia and the United States?
It's neutral status.
they gave her a refugee travel document, a non-status.
That's a bad joke. I'm sorry.
Unbelievable. What was that? Did Misa just sort of hand it to her, or did they go to the Hall of Justice?
No, that's where the press conference was. So they went through the Justice House. You know, there were random Georgians getting these perfect services, and then there was, I think, the press conference there. She said hi to the people there and the employees, and then that's what I saw, I guess. Then she got this kind of
an ID card or a passport, an international.
But they're giving passports now. They give them as souvenir passports. Yeah, I mean, You hear it all the time.
I can think of a few Iranians that would very much like to have souvenir passports.
Or Georgian opposition leaders.
Exactly.
Well, there, Georgian opposition leaders.
There are a couple of things about her visit which I think are interesting. You know, there's been a lot of reporting about the status-neutral documents. And, you know, there's also, you know, Russia made some strong statements about her speaking about the defense support that the United States is giving to Georgia. But in reality, they're... you know, someone, this Kusera, I will say his name wrong, he had some interesting reporting on whether or not this was actually new defense support or whether, you know, it's kind of just a continuation of some of the same things that have been happening and whether or not, you know, this even is coming close to what the Georgian government was really hoping they would see from the U.S.
And so is it significantly new or?
No, I mean, that's the kind of... At this stage, no. But
isn't it like, it's a bunch, though? Isn't it like $300 million or something like that? Where did I hear $300 million?
I don't know about the money.
Was that just some Imedi TV story I saw that just means
maybe
nothing.
that's the, what is it, the Millennium Challenge money included? I don't know.
I haven't heard anything about money. I've just heard about the kind of the types of things that they were going to be supporting and, you know, and like protecting, you know, air and sea borders
the
and
boats
things like that.
And for the
Coast Guard.
Coast Guard and some... You know, service hall for the boats.
Why not? Well, I'm in favor of U.S.-Georgia defense cooperation, so why not? During the joint press conference, Reuters, always in the vanguard, asked Misha if he absolutely, positively excluded the chance of becoming prime minister, as Putin did. He avoided giving a direct answer and said that he is building strong institutions, and that's what matters, not the personalities. I don't know. My experiences, personalities kind of matter a little bit. Call me crazy. But, you know, we'll see.
Especially here. Yeah, and I wanted to mention also about the meeting with the opposition. It was quite interesting because the three people that she did meet with, David Usupashvili came out and said that he was actually very happy with the amount of information that Hillary had about the situation here and felt that, you know, she understood what the important kind of concerns that the opposition had.
I guess largely from Transparency International Georgia, the hardest working NGO in Georgia.
And maybe the U.S. Embassy.
And maybe the U.S. Embassy, too. I guess. I don't know. But yeah, via, you know, Transparency International.
But the thing that was very interesting, the statement that he made was he said, you know, coming out of that meeting, I'm going to paraphrase. He basically said that he had an appreciation that she didn't necessarily support the Saakashvili, you know, administration per se, you know, and that they didn't support, and the opposition didn't ask for her and the United States specific support, but rather that they support the Georgian people. Which I thought was, you know, a very
smart,
rash.
Usupashvili and Tsouloukiani seemed to be calm. I think in general there seemed to be some annoyance going on, especially Eliashvili just couldn't hold it in, according to some of our listeners. At the demonstrations 11 days ago, people were asked to write their dreams on little pieces of paper, which seemed to mean swag that they wanted. I don't know, at least that's how it seemed to be interpreted. Now there is a dream flyer probe about vote buying. Chief Prosecutor's Office said on the 6th of June that an investigation had been launched into vote bribery. Georgian Dream, or Otsneba, denies the allegations and says that it is a dirty plot by the authorities. Rustavi, too, reported on the 5th of June that Georgian Dream activists were distributing flyers in the city and also offering... And offering citizens the opportunity to write down their dreams on one part of the flyer, presumably with their names, promising them various home appliances in case they dreamed of a blender, worth no more than 1,000 lari. Several activists, young men in Otsneba t-shirts, told the TV channel that Otsneba would make those dreams come true before the elections and donate those gifts to supporters, whatever they would write on the flyers.
Sounds a little bit naive that party activists would tell the pro-government channels about these plans.
Georgian Dream has actually said that everybody's been incredibly well briefed and trained about what they're supposed to be saying to people, and that there's been no, you know, indication there should be any promises. And actually, before the meeting in Tbilisi as well, they, you know, the gathering of people here, they, you know, I guess said that they wanted to make sure that there were no provocations and that anybody who came up to anybody and said, you know, we're doing this, you know, we'll offer you money in order to come to our rally, you know, those people are not representing our party. So, you know, kind of stay away from them. And yeah. report to us immediately.
I mean, I can't imagine that they wouldn't, with all the money they have, that they wouldn't buy some lawyers that could brief people fairly well. But I'm sure they're briefing people quite well. Now, on the other hand, it's difficult, that number of people, to be sure that they're all well briefed. But, yeah, I mean, that certainly makes sense.
Yeah, and it's certainly plausible that someone would just throw on a Kartuliotsneba shirt and then walk around and, you know, say stupid stuff like this.
Or join the movement well ahead in time to then use this position.
Crazier things have happened. Property rights were violated in the U.S. Department of State's Human Rights report. The Human Rights Report said that there were property right violations. It's not that the Human Rights Report took people's land. In the EU's Neighborhood Policy Progress Report in Georgia that came out recently, all via the hard work of TI Georgia and its crack team of lawyers, no doubt, they put up a post about this where a lot of people, especially in eastern Georgia, talk about lost property. There's some videos, interesting stories, subtitled for English speakers. Check it out at transparency.ge/en for English. Georgian Dream continues its campaign with the next demonstration in Kutaisi on the 10th of June. Have you heard of the kindergarten problem?
No.
What I heard was that when they originally applied for the permit to hold the thing, that they were told that there are going to be kindergarten performances on that date. And they said, okay, the next day. And they said, well, actually, there will be kindergarten performances of every kindergarten in Kutaisi for 30 days, one each day.
In the whole city or in
the whole city, but they're going to go to that. The performances are going to be in that main square. I don't know. That's what I heard. If anybody, you know, any Otsneba insiders are listening, clarify that to us. We'll be interested to see what
they could have them perform on stage.
So like,
you
exactly.
know, like the rapping comes from the party, and then pay
them for it. You know, why not?
Oh, bribing of future voters.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Well, like, I wonder if there's like if you bribe little kids, they're not voters. So
well, I'm sure they would say because of their parents.
Right. Yeah. I guess. Okay. Zaza Santirishvili said on Maestro that LGBT ideology. What is LGBT ideology? I mean, what is?
Maybe lifestyle, which is another
word.
But, that
but
is
he said
used
he said that. Ideology,
right? But his name is Santirishvili.
That's what I said.
It's like satire?
Yeah, it's like satire.
Okay.
It's an art project that he did that.
Ah, like, yeah. Okay. You know, his real name is Maisudadze, but he changed it to Satirishvili. It's a performance artist. I see. Okay. Anyway, he said that it is unacceptable for him, and he's generally, you know, considered one of the educated people in the gang along there with Margulishvili. So, I don't know. That's disappointing. We'd be interested in clarification from Otsneba, you know, just how officially they feel about LGBT, air quotes, ideology, and whatever that means. Otsneba member judo champion Ambako Avaliani was briefly kidnapped. According to Otsneba, he says that he was receiving phone calls from fellow sportsmen asking him to quit the party. After he agreed to meet one of them, 20 guys showed up from the Ministry of Sports, stuck him in a Jeep, had a chat for several hours, and then released him. According to Ambebi.ge and Resonanci, participants in the government-funded internship program called Summer Job are obliged to attend demonstrations in support of the UNM.
I can't believe they're doing the summer job thing again.
Yeah.
They're getting paid again for like a month-long position, and I don't understand how they're getting those jobs. I mean,
well, there's a lot of companies that are encouraged to cooperate with the program, I think. So apparently it seems to be somewhat difficult to get a summer internship that is not with this government-funded program this summer, because all the companies kind of work with the government to do this.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem to work so well last time.
Yeah. And the summer job, it's an English name, actually, for the program, and the S in the summer job looks a little bit like a five. Some conspiracy theorists, you know, is kind of imply that this could be related to the big number five of the national movement.
Interesting. Democracy Freedom, DF Watch, and Interpress News report this week that radios were taken out of Tbilisi's Yellow Marshutkas. The company says it was done because the radio interfered with screens they are installing, which will show advertising. Other media outlets are speculating that it was done because a lot of drivers listen to opposition-leaning radio stations. Practically every cab I've ever been in. On the other hand, what you know the UNM crowd would say is that that's because so many cops are driving cabs, which is a good thing for them to be doing.
Former cops,
yeah. I mean retired cops. I mean, you know, the coercively removed Shevardnadze ex-cops.
I can't believe... I mean, I don't understand how the television has to show... I mean, they have to show advertising in a marshutka.
Yeah, in the back. I mean, not to the driver.
Who knows? So, free Wi-Fi will completely cover Tbilisi by the end of 2012. Let's everybody date forward something for January 1st, 2013 in your Google calendars and check whether there's free
it's
Wi-Fi.
Already on Rustaveli.
Really, is it?
Yes.
Really?
The network is called Tbilisi Loves You.
Got to give it
Which
a shot.
The city slogan. Yes.
Wow. You saw the ad, right? Did you see the ad? Tbilisi Loves You of the guy and the you know ladies and the passport and the postcard pictures. I don't know if it'll show up. Try Tbilisi Loves You on YouTube. Look for it.
Is that the ad with the car?
Yeah. It's
the passionate voices out of a car.
Oh, God, it's just so unbelievably horrible.
The postcard.
It's just frightening. Anyway, so there are commercials about it all over TV, talking about which districts are covered. The Metro will also come soon. On Tuesday, Ivanishvili's ninth channel...
Began broadcasting in Tbilisi, so anybody who has an antenna could watch it for the past couple of days. But the GNCC yesterday in the late night decided that you know the ninth channel doesn't have a license and that this transmission is allegedly illegal. And the company which does it, which is called Stereo Plus, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, which was in an ownership dispute. Basically, they decided to air the ninth channel so that everybody can see it just as an antenna. They say, you know, it was an accident or we can't do anything about that. We are not doing anything legal. But the GNCC said, so if it's not turned off by 2 o'clock this afternoon, they're going to basically shut the TV station, the TV tower down on up there on the mountain so that the signal can no longer be shown.
Well, so how's this going to end?
I don't know. And it's confusing. Nobody really knows what's going on, including the people at the ninth channel, I think. So they were fined 5,000 lari, or the Stereo Plus company was fined 5,000 lari. And we will see how it continues in the next few days.
Oh, dear.
I would like to once again point out that the GNCC does a whole bunch of bizarre things, I think, you know, especially with the regulation of... television frequencies as well as for radio. The fact that there seems to me artificially constraining who can be on is bizarre by doing these like market assessments and saying that there's no market for certain things.
Must carry, man. Must carry is what we need. You know, I hope somebody comes up with that, and I hope that was discussed with Secretary Clinton. Pierre Ville News Agency reports that Chamber Control says that it found 1 million lari in illegal donations from Ivanishvili companies to Kartulios Neba. This could result in fines of 5 million lari for Ivanishvili.
So that was today, including and one of the companies that was included in this assessment is Global TV, which is kind of Ivanishvili's brother's cable company that distributes the ninth channel.
And they've also shut down Komagi, right?
Yeah,
the international
Komagi too.
One. As well as the kind of the football Komagi.
Oh, boy. Georgian police detained 19-year-old Levan Darjania on cybercrime charges. He is accused of having hacked the website droni.ge and presa.ge. The websites were down for a day last week.
And these are websites that are seen as close to the government or friendly to government. Another thing that is interesting is that Georgia ratified the Council of Europe Cybercrime Convention yesterday, which is basically...
Parliament did?
I guess the parliament has to do that, yeah. And so this is about kind of adopting a consolidated and coordinated approach to fighting cybercrime and child pornography
and terrorism and all this.
Yeah, but it's not bad.
Good.
Georgia is doing this.
They're like the 34th, I think, signatory.
Yeah.
Excellent. Journalists and producers seem to be leaving Scheli Chocolati or Hot Chocolate in droves.
The radio, I think. So the new radio that they have in Tbilisi.
Not sure what the story is there.
The story seems to be that Liberali and the whole group, which runs also the station, and the Hot Chocolate monthly magazine, which is very popular, seems to have severe financial problems because they had a Georgian business partner that is based in Germany, and apparently he pulled out, or there was something, and so now that some of their funding seems to be not as readily available as was assumed to.
What I read actually was that he pulled out after there was some sort of requirement that there was some, you know, official materials about his organization that had to be submitted, and then they pulled out. It's like Vidofon or something.
Yeah.
He does sort of teleconferencing or something that, as far as I know.
So, unfortunate. Oh, well.
Free Press Support Organization has published the fifth financial report, according to which it received 170,000 lari as a grant in May. The main donor organization is the Kartu Fund.
And what is interesting, so these are the people in the red caps and jackets in Tbilisi that distribute the newspapers from these mobile stands. And most Georgian newspapers and magazines are distributed through them, or at least many. Mm-hmm. And nobody has really raised, you know, concerns that this entity that does the distribution for them is funded by Ivanishvili's entities, and kind of, yeah, it doesn't look very good, I think, that the newspapers kind of, you know, save money because they do the distribution for them. I think that's it's somewhat problematic.
But are they? I mean, they've got a whole range of newspapers, right? I mean, they're not.
It's not only one publisher. It's
they've got a lot.
Yeah.
TV9's new website called Info9 had a reportage which tells the story of Tetritskaro Municipality's MP David Bezhuashvili hosting a big supra on which he allegedly spent some 4,000 lari.
Yeah.
And some holiday.
Right. And he says he does it every year in this home village, kind of. And then the question is, were there more than 40 people, I think? Because and what I heard is that that if you basically bribe, if you want to call it that way, more than 100 lari per person, it's a criminal offense. If it's less than 100 lari, it seems to be an administrative offense. So that's going to be one question. And David Bezhuashvili was also involved in the case of seizing the company Stereo Plus and First Stereo.
David Bezhuashvili's got a heck of a lot of money, as far as I remember.
Yes, he owns the Georgian industrial group GIG, which has assets in mining and in energy, media, lots of things.
And his brother's the head of intelligence, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Interagency Task Force for Free and Fair Elections, the so-called Bokeria Commission, has called on state agencies and public schools to suspend any possible optimization in order to avoid linkages to politics ahead of the October parliamentary elections. Before that, they made a statement saying civil servants had all rights to openly declare their political views.
Wait, optimization is the term that's been used to close down schools, and so that's been incredibly unpopular. And so they're basically saying, yeah, don't close down schools and make people upset during the pre-election period.
Yes, they're saying we have a reform plan that's going to involve firing lots of people. That's not going to happen until after the elections because it freaks people out beforehand.
Right, and basically what they imply is that we are then accused of making political firings, so we're not going to do this. So to avoid the misleading impression that any political motivation.
So the political firings will come after the elections. And they'll have more recent data that way. So, you know, fantastic.
But I think it's a very smart move to send out this release to kind of, you know, at least officially address the concerns of the NGO and the international community that there's, you know, politically motivated firings, and they say, no. That's not the case.
Exactly. Now, last week, we read a fairly lengthy quote of Gigi Zettatelli's about how it was not, you know...
About the connection between the party and the state.
Yeah, that you shouldn't, that officials shouldn't, you know, attend these events and whatever else. That was a misquote, and we should have checked that, but, you know, he called and we talked about it, and he was really misquoted and did not say that. They just quoted him as saying that, and he's been chasing around the misquoters with predictably modest success, but, you know, tabealpod.com does not want to be associated with irresponsible journalism in any way, even though we're not journalists and don't source anything and really just shoot our mouths off about whatever we want, but... Not about Gigi Zettatelli, who, even when I heard that, it didn't sound like the kind of thing Gigi Zettatelli would say. I can think of some other MPs that would be the type of people to say that, but not Gigi. So, sorry for that, for perpetrating that misquote among the English listening community of TheBealPod.com.
That's too bad, because I wanted to believe it.
But, what's your deal with Gigi, man?
But wasn't there... There was an official response, I thought, in relation to that statement.
Yeah,
well, but the official response said, you know, didn't say, like, bad Gigi. It said, right. Like, to clarify, here's the situation. Right. It didn't say anything about what Gigi had said, you know, so...
So someone else made that jump for us.
Yeah, someone else made that jump for us. We swallowed it whole because sometimes we're lazy and stupid. So I apologize. Ireland's foreign minister, Eamon Gilmore, who currently holds the OSCE rotating chairmanship, will visit Georgia between June 12th and 13th as part of a South Caucasus tour.
And they will also be the EU president in the first half of 2013.
Yeah, exactly. So, a lot of big old Irishmen, you know, coming through town, wielding, you know, their shillelaghs, and let's, you know, just make sure we take care of the Irish, show them some hospitality. There's going to be an Irish... Georgian Film Festival soon, which I'm very excited about, which should be neat. So, yeah, great. Freedom House has released the latest Nations in Transit report. Georgia is classified as a, quote, transitional government or hybrid regime, end quote, with the same score as Ukraine, slightly better than Moldova, but less democratic than Serbia, Bosnia, and Albania. Armenia is described as a semi-consolidated authoritarian regime. Russia and Azerbaijan are seen as consolidated authoritarian regimes. The 20th round of the Geneva International talks is underway and will end tomorrow. Oh, sorry. So what? What about the Geneva talks? Did anybody hear anything happening in the? Okay. Anyway,
weren't they going to be asking for Russia? Isn't that where they were talking about Russia's unilateral
withdrawal of troops from?
No, the non-use of force.
I don't know.
I thought that was going to be the.
Anybody
the
hears
thing
of anything useful happening in Geneva? Mm-hmm. Please let us know. Our Geneva sources are not particularly good. You know, not because lots of important things don't happen during the Geneva talks, but you know, anybody hears of anything, let us know.
Yeah, but that's the kind of information that people aren't going to tell you anyway, because they're not going to tell you the details about what happened behind closed doors during midterm negotiations.
You'd be amazed at what people tell TheBealPod.com.
You and this microphone. I'm sure they're not telling you that.
All right. The European Court of Human Rights will hold on the 13th of June a hearing about Georgia's complaints against Russia over the deportation of ethnic Georgians from Russia 5 years ago. Visa liberalization talks with EU started on Monday. Georgian Foreign Minister Vashadze and the EU Commissioner for Home Affairs met in Brussels. You know Vashadze speaks Portuguese? That's what I heard.
Oh.
Who knew? Wizz Air, this is real, this is not an Onion report, all right, Wizz Air plans to launch flights from Kutaisi to Kiev in September. It'll fly three times a week, and single ticket prices start from €36 if you buy it 4 years in advance. Saakashvili gave a serious speech about it, standing in front of a Wizz Air banner. Net Gazeti says that the prices will be increased after October 12th to €78. Hey, listen, man, at that price, I'll drive to Kutaisi.
Because they're building a new airport there. That's, I think, why Misha also gave the speech, because they're building a new... They're
of course. Is it the old airport? Because I heard
they tried to sell it. I think nobody would buy it. And
but so is it a whole new airport? Because I think that I heard that the new airport is on the west side of town, but isn't the old airport on the east side of town?
I don't know. I've never flown in or out of...
I have not either. I don't
know. No one is, yet. In fact, right now.
But looking forward to that, and especially them getting some flights farther west.
Wizz Air is somewhere from the Baltics.
Good.
I think
well,
you're right.
Balts, they sure know what they're doing. That would be fantastic. Yeah. Great. Okay, the most depressing news of the week. Mexican, well, aside from young Levon getting arrested, the Mexican restaurant in Signaghi is no longer around. It closed a couple of weeks ago after it was fined with 500 lari by the revenue service for not giving a customer a receipt. Mm-hmm. And the people who ran it decided that after that fine, it was no longer worth running the restaurant, which is a big bummer. All right, this was a Georgian from Signaghi who'd lived in Mexico. It was a great restaurant, much beloved among the international community here.
And the tourists, probably.
And tourists and everybody else. And, like, you know, okay, I know everybody's got, you know, the revenue service has to be, like, the tough guys and whatever else. But, like, you know, aside from a whole lot of styrofoam facades, there's not a lot going on in Signaghi. Let's be real. You know, I mean, it's sort of designed for tourist bus to go there and, you know, take a few snapshots and turn around. You know, that's just sad. Okay, so for that reason, on Sunday, everybody go to Signaghi, meet in front of the revenue service with signs saying, reopen the Mexican restaurant, and that's what we're all doing, at 3 p.m., okay?
Well, I met one of the people involved in the business, and he has found a different job already, so okay. I don't know if he's willing to.
All right, well, just go there anyway. I don't know. Or, you know, I don't know. Send an email to the revenue service saying you want Mexican food. The parliament is discussing an amendment to allow construction economic activity in parts of the Colchetti protected area. Where is that?
I think that I would assume that's Lausica, the future area.
Ah, okay. All right. So same thing. All right. A Georgian interior ministry said that they found a clear foreign trace in an attempted car bomb found near the Israeli embassy in February.
Everything else would be kind of scary, no?
I said it was on the car. This is the one that was on the car.
Right, yeah, but it was coordinated with the one in, where was it, India or the Philippines or something?
Yeah,
so like if there was a Georgian conspiracy behind that.
Yeah, that would be bad. Yeah, Georgian bomb in India, that would be scary. As mentioned last week, the three people in Gali who were killed in the ambush, Abkhaz authorities blamed it on Saboteur Intelligence Squad from Georgia. There have been a lot of shootings on the Karabakh border from both sides. 5 Azeri and 3 Armenian soldiers have been killed. A landmine close to Akhalgori district exploded and injured 8 foresters. All survived. The head of the European Union monitoring mission calls on all sides to take practical steps towards clearing conflict areas from the war. A teach and learn teacher from Georgia is suing a 22-year-old Georgian soldier from the village Shindisi for attempted rape. That's on ambevi.ge. There's a lot of discussion about that. And some, you know, I don't know if any teach and learners can tell us what's going on there. We'd be interested to know, because the way in which it was reported, at least in a Georgian language story, if there was a real attempted rape, that's not the way it was reported on ambevi.ge. Let's hear anything that anybody knows about that. Kommersant.ge reports that Mindia Gulua, the Georgian businessman working in Russia, wants to buy Georgian railways and shares of Georgian railways and shares of Tbilisi Water. Gulua is a founder of the political movement For a New Georgia. He also ran for the United Russian Party. United Russia Party in Krasnodar District. He's not so crazy about Bidzina and says that Bidzina is close to criminal circles.
Well, it's going to be difficult for him to do that because the Georgian railways are 100% government-owned. And they have put the plans to list them on the UK stock exchange, put on ice. And then the Tbilisi Water is still held by some Geneva-based lawyer, you know,
right.
who...
Yeah, I can't
represent somebody.
I was complaining to Kaja Benukidze one time that nobody knows who owns Tbilisi Water. He said everybody knows, and then he sort of lists the names of the guys, and he's like, you know, there's that Jewish guy in Moscow and this other guy, and I said, what are their names? He told me their names, and then I couldn't remember them. I wish I remember. Yeah, I don't know. Call him again. Beyond Tbilisi reports that construction workers in Kutaisi's main square and Fountain Rehabilitation say that they have not been getting their salaries. Not sure if it's related to this, but a big wall fell off an administrative building connected with the parliament just this afternoon. 2 people were killed, evidently, in the accident.
Which is the downside of building very, very quickly.
Yeah, building that building very, very quickly thing is, you know, got that problem, doesn't it?
Yeah, there were some people that said that they were still looking for people, and the other was that there are people currently in the hospital, but not really clear about the numbers.
Very, very bad. Italians opened a cheese factory in Lillo, which, for those who don't know, is the sort of big wholesale market east of Tbilisi. It produces 10 types of cheese, including Georgian sulguni and imeruli, Italian mozzarella, and others. The factory will allegedly employ up to 700 people.
Italian mozzarella from Georgia would be pretty great, because there's the Georgian mozzarella from Georgia, which is not always that great.
I like sulguni. I mean, what is the difference between sulguni and mozzarella? They're pretty close.
I don't know.
Good mozzarella is
buffalo.
Mozzarella is buffalo, yeah. the real thing.
Yeah, and it needs the special. So from the Naples area, so
they have water buffaloes in Italy.
Yeah, but they grass on illegal waste dumps that are run by the mafia. So the chemicals in the ground give the mozzarella a specific taste.
Are you kidding me? Did you just make that up? You Austrian?
I don't know if they're still doing that, because that was a couple years ago. There was everybody was outraged by the fact
mozzarella.
Yeah.
Beyond Tbilisi reports that Georgia's Patriarch announced claims, the Patriarch had announced that the claims of an old church ruins in Petra Forest is leased to an investor. The investor said if he'd known about the church, he'd not get involved and might now drop the lease. Swiss Agency for Development Cooperation allocated 3 million Swiss francs to assist low-income farmers in Cachetti region. I'm not really sure how much 3 million Swiss francs is, although they seem to be getting stronger pretty quickly. UN World Tourism Organization, the agency for protected areas, signed a memorandum, a €500,000 project. Implement will be for tourist projects in Lago Dehi, Vashlovani, Mitarala, and Kolcheti. Guria News reports that there is a new order from the Ministry of Education to provide textbooks for free for families who have 3 or more kids, but they've got to have the exact same parents. For example, if a woman is divorced and have a third kid from a different guy, no free books for the kids.
Are they doing DNA testing?
I don't know. That's a good question. They separate the kids and say, "Do you know who your real father is?" I don't know. Well, I can kind of see. I can kind of imagine the minister doing that. But okay, never mind. A couple of people have said something interesting to me, that the Mimonishvili firing was intentionally to create a news story that would cloud discussion about just how many people showed up to the demonstration last weekend. Because, you know, that really did dominate the news a little bit more than, you know, the serious numbers. You think so? I don't know. I'm getting frowns from the Tepil Podniks and Nitzas.
Yeah. Well, no, someone told me that as well. I do think that if that was their strategy, it was probably pretty effective. But she also did meet with Ivanishvili, you know, pretty much right after, and I guess decided that she wasn't going to take his support, as far as I know. But nonetheless, I mean, there was kind of this connection anyway and discussion about that. So I don't know if they were just trying to avoid talking about numbers specifically, but certainly the topic of Ivanishvili is not going away, you know, because of that.
Indeed. But there were a lot of people that showed up at the demonstration, many, or at least many more than anticipated by the current regime.
Yeah. We have a correction on our website. Yes.
What?
Or two corrections.
We, Tbilpod?
Yes,
we,
yeah. Not Tbilpod. One is that last week you said that Abkhaz MP was found dead in Moscow and was murdered. A listener says he was not murdered. He was just found dead. And that he is not aware of another Abkhaz MP that died in Moscow.
Yeah, I think that someone might have misinterpreted maybe what I said, because there were two Abkhaz-related deaths in Moscow within like a two-week or three-week period. And so I was saying that was the second one that we were hearing about recently.
And there was another
clarification. We apologize for that. Thank you for listening carefully.
And another clarification about the Russian facility in Abkhazia.
Which of the 30?
The Chubukin.
Oh, yeah, the new base.
Yeah, just sort of clarification is that this is not a military barracks. It's housing for military families, for Russian military families.
For what? The base in Gali? Or what? Doesn't say.
I don't know where the... No, there's a link, but I don't know where this Shibur Kinji is exactly, but I do know that they are...
It's north of... Up in Gali, like, it's farther north.
Well, then if it is, I mean, they are building this residential complex that I have seen with my own eyes, but, you know, I think that the person who was making some commentary about whether or not it was really a base would also be one to know, so...
Okay. All right. So we thank you very much for that information, and glad we got that in under the wire. All right. Announcements. Across from McDonald's and Rustaveli Metro, the Kolga movies, A Separation, tomorrow night, Friday, the 8th of June. It's a movie from Iran. Persian subtitles won the Best Foreign Picture Award. It's a fantastic movie that I highly encourage everybody to see. On Monday is, these are at 8 o'clock, as always. On Monday, it's Black Swan. On Wednesday, the 13th of June, it's Caramel, Lebanon, 2007, Arabic, French, with English subtitles. The question last week was, at what point was Georgia's population highest, and what was this? Let us know where and who you are counting. We had no answers to that question. Bunch of chickens, our listeners are, you know, not doing any research or anything.
Are you angry enough to repose it again?
Yeah, so, you know, listen, come on. Now, let's hear it. I mean, I don't want to sort of toss any hints in there or anything, but one of the reasons I asked is because I have heard that Georgia's population right now is substantially lower than it was several hundred years ago. And I'm curious if anybody has any actual demographic information about that.
So the geographic scope of that question is also important.
I mean, you got to know where we're talking about and who you're actually counting. You're talking about Georgian speakers. Are you talking about people on that territory? You know, it could be a lot of different things. There are certain, you know, times in which if you're counting Persian soldiers, you know, then the population would have been three times what it is right now. So question still stands, you know, so get out your, you know, your miter caps and let us know what you think. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Excited to say that Bidzina Ivanishvili just followed me on Twitter this past week. Our email is tbilpod, that's tblpod@gmail.com. Or post on our website as those corrections were posted, and we will always read them and let people know what you think.
And there's also a Facebook group.
And a Facebook group, too, which if you look for Tbilpod, you will find it. Our website is www.tbilpod.com, T-B-L-P-O-D. See you there. Keep the ideas for stories coming if you email them to us. We will never, ever source because we're not responsible journalists.
And we don't remember.
And we don't really remember anyway, to tell you the truth, because it's so confusing. This week's song goes out to Luca and Tasso Mullen. We have here Southern Culture on the Skids from 2004, blasting out Mojo Box.
I got a mojo box with your head on top. I got a mojo hand, it's more than I can stand. Yeah, but there ain't nothing that I won't do to get a little closer to you. I got a mojo box. I got to do as I say. Dinner every soft spray, Lord, I think I'll mojo cologne on everything that I own. Yeah, but there ain't nothing that I won't do to get a little closer to you. I got a mojo box. Get my baby back. Oh!
Joe Box.